Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art, where I serve up great art for your listening pleasure. Today, Roland DeFries returns to the pod. He's got this fabulous exhibition with pieces around the themes of vanity and perceived luxuries. It makes for an really interesting show. Enjoy. I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is the brand that represents the community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, predictive courses, and predictive coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for 50% off discount on all of their products.
Hey, Roland, how you doing?
Hey, Brooke. So good to see you.
Good to see you too. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Awesome. I'm doing great. I'm doing really good.
It's been a while, no?
It has been a long time. It has been a really long time. So what have you been up to? It looks like a lot.
Yes, you could say that. I think when we spoke, that was 4 years ago or so,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. About that, I think.
Yes, I can. I'm following your podcast.
Thank you.
I'm very happy to see that you're keeping very busy. And we both have.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So since we've last spoken, I've dove into painting basically, yeah. Which is what I'm doing now exclusively, mm-hmm. And have been over the past 3-4 years. I had a whole bunch of exhibitions and an art residency upstate New York. Mm-hmm. I had a solo exhibition in Manhattan, which was awesome. Wow. I participated in some group exhibitions, and over the past 3 years, I have been at Art Miami in Miami once a year, and I just returned from that, basically.
Cool.
So, yeah, awesome. Miami is very... So... you know, I'm very happy, and that's what I do. I paint every day, and you know, with every new painting come new ideas for the next paintings.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is there was this Martin Kippenberger, a German conceptual artist of the 1990s, who said once, you know, the best thing that can happen to an artist is you know, that to have more ideas than time.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Totally.
So
I love it that you have a daily practice where you make it an effort to paint like every day.
Every day. That's right. That's you know, what helps me with that is in the mornings during the week, Monday through Friday, I'm a studio assistant at the Art Students League in New York.
Okay.
You know, which is what I've been told, the second oldest art school in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, many of the big names, basically of the 20th century, have come out of the school. Cy Twombly, Robert Rauschenberg, Georgia O'Keeffe, Jackson Pollock, they have all studied at the school at one point or another. And for the past 3 years or so, I've been a little over 3 years, I've been painting there daily.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been a studio assistant with Greg Kreutz, who's one of the long-term instructors there. I've also painted with a master painter, Sam Goodsell, who's also been there for a long time. And you know, this means it exposes me to a lot of learning also, which is fantastic, you know.
Absolutely.
And an opportunity to teach also, you know, and help other students, basically. I do that in the mornings, and then in the afternoons, I'm on my own, basically in my own little studio in Manhattan also, and I do my own thing.
That's awesome. Do you teach?
So, and I've always loved that. I've done that way back before I even came to New York. So 30 years ago,
Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, you did it last time we talked. You were talking.
So I've always enjoyed that. So any opportunity basically to do this is a great opportunity. You know, it's a great time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's do you get do you how do you feel when your students share your excitement about painting and just really wanting to get into it?
Isn't that it's such an interesting, it's one of those interesting things I feel about sort of like painting and teaching. In a way, it's different from teaching how to learn a different another language or so. Because in a way, painting or drawing or any type of art making is a very introvert activity. No, you're doing it by yourself. It's, you know, at times you don't want any input, you don't want people to interrupt you. It's best if you're being kept alone and you get to focus and do your thing. So in a way, painting or drawing and teaching, there comes this other aspect basically, or this other component, because teaching comes with, you know, talking about somebody else's work or talking about your own work and trying to convey some ideas or some ways to, you know, how to do it, you know, things like that. And that's a fascinating another layer basically. You know, it's like the way what we're doing right now, we're talking about art, right? You do it all
Absolutely.
the time. So it's something that is sort of like, you know, lonely in the sense that, you know, it happens where the artist is by themselves, and they just create something. They don't need anything that surrounds them, no dialogue necessarily. But at the same time, the moment you put your art out, basically you're also opening up that window or that door to talk about it, right? To communicate. And teaching has that also, this element, I feel.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I can totally see that. You're letting someone else into not necessarily your practice, but just kind of like into your mind, into your just kind of like making it the what was the word you said? Where you're by yourself, where you're just kind of like
Introvert, like an
introverted
introverted.
activity into like you're bringing that out, you're letting other people into it. And like you said, sometimes there are times when you don't want to do that, but I think teaching is a very great opportunity to do that and great experience for both people, both.
Yeah, and extremely rewarding when you have that connection, or when you see, whether you're on the student side or on the teaching side or instructing side, that those moments when you feel that there's then a connection that happens, or something clicks, you know, oh, that's how you do it, or that's what you know, that's how you got from A to B. Or and I can tell you, Brooke, from my own joining this the Art Students League in New York 3.5 years ago, I went there because I was curious. I had noticed that I was not able to paint things, pictures in a certain manner that I wanted to. You know, I was very experienced with, let's say, drawing and very abstract and free painting and things like that, but I wasn't able to paint in a certain manner, specifically in a manner that's very realistic oil painting basically. And I wanted this to paint the things that I was interested in visualizing or creating. So I initially joined the school as a also as a you know with that intent to learn those techniques, specifically techniques that were developed first in Italy and in Belgium, or nowadays Belgium, Flemish painters of the 16th and 17th century. Think a Vermeer or Rembrandt, or you know many there's a long line of those famous painters, still lives, landscapes, portrait painters, that have mastered this, you know, the way how we still today see or understand realist painting, basically. You know, that line continues all the way through David Hockney and whatnot, 21st century. But it was established, those principles and those techniques were established during the 16 and 1700s, following the Renaissance, following Raphael, Michelangelo, etc., and then into the Baroque era, basically. And I was interested in learning about this and also mastering this. So that's what I've been doing over the last 3.5 years. And that has greatly enabled me to paint the way what you see when you look at my current work. Basically, it's a very hyper-realistic way of painting. It's very conceptual, very contemporary, but it is the techniques themselves are
Are
rooted
rooted in history.
in especially those painterly techniques of those 2 centuries, basically.
How wild is that? I mean, did like Michelangelo or those people think that like people would be doing with abstract photo with abstract pictures? I think that would blow their minds.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, we have to remember that, you know, in what happened when the Renaissance came about, it was up until that moment, painting was something where mainly the church basically wanted paintings, pictures of the saints, of, you know, scenes from the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever that was. And, you know, so the churches were filled with those, and nobody, private people, didn't have paintings or sculptures or so, you know. And then the Renaissance happens, and they add this whole catalog of these Roman and Greek mythology. So all of a sudden, you have the birth of Venus, Botticelli, or you have things from mythology. And then in what happens when the year 1600 comes about, you have all of a sudden this wealth that is with families, merchants, Venice, Florence in Italy, Rome, Antwerp in what's now Belgium, where you had wealthy private people that were not had nothing to do with any church or anything, and that weren't necessarily princes or kings or so. They were just private people that could afford to hire an artist and say, "I want my picture painted. I want a picture of me and my wife," you know, or when whatever Henry VIII of England basically sent Hans Holbein out to have Anna of Cleves painted, basically, so before he actually met her, so he would know what she looked like.
No, it's just
Yeah. I
that's
what have I gotten myself into?
kind
You
of funny.
know? But so that's where that started. And that's also where it started that artists painted would paint on canvas. Because canvas, you could roll up, you could restretch it, you could frame it later, but it was easy to transport from A to B. It wasn't stucco that was attached to some
The
church
building.
wall or something, right? So, and anyways, that those techniques were perfected during those years and decades. And I am interested in and have been greatly interested in basically using these techniques for something that is us now in the 21st century. So this is This is where those ideas originate. Because that has always been, you know, artists painting things that were happening in their time also. You know, Gary Coe painted the Raft of Medusa, you know, whatever. It's, you know, the German Expressionists painted things that happened during the Weimar Republic, or even coming out of World War One, or, you know, things like that. Pop art.
Yeah.
You know, Andy Warhol and those things in the 60s, this big commercial stuff, TV.
Totally. All new ways of expressing the same things, basically. And I love your new thing that you're doing with the conceptual artworks around vanity and perceived luxury. Tell me about that. That's really exciting.
So that is Brooke. This is that, you know, this is this thing I had noticed. You know, I don't know if you remember, but it doesn't matter. We would, you know, in my professional background for a long time, I made a living as a designer, as a graphic designer in advertising and branding.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
One of the reasons why I had moved to New York City, because it's such a hub or center for that. So a lot of this, the commercial arts basically, and all of that stuff sort of like a part of my fabric.
Yeah.
And you know, I had noticed that auction houses like Sotheby's and Christie's, that they were not just selling Rembrandts and Picassos and Andy Warhols, but they were also selling these handbags, right? Dior and Louis Vuitton and Hermès, and not just selling them, but selling them at a unbelievable premium. So the original new handbag was $10,000, which was already ridiculous at Dior, let's say. But then it became sort of like shortlisted and it was no longer available and you had to get on a wait list to be able to buy one. Now you can buy a pre-owned one through Sotheby's or Christie's, but it will cost you $35,000 or $50,000 or so.
That's
And it's a 10-year-old bag, you know.
That's insane.
And so when I had seen this, I thought, oh, that's something that I'm into. That's so 21st century. This could not have happened 100 years ago or 30 years ago. This is happening now.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, this is cool. So I had this idea to paint this, and I thought, how do I paint this? You know. So I had this idea to start a series of paintings that I called a listing, and it's basically a portrayal of a particular bag that auctioned off at, let's say, Sotheby's for $50,000. A little handbag. But it's also basically portrayed as the painting is a painting as of a Instagram or a Facebook listing. So it's not just the bag, but it's the bag with the like button below it. And
oh, I love that.
The look basically of what it looked like on your phone, right? On our phones or our tablets or so. And I thought, you know, this opens another, the idea is here that it opens yet another layer. It's basically, it's this object of desire. It's this luxury object. But it's also telling a little bit the story about, well, here's this auction house and they've been around for 250 years, but they're now selling those things that are not art. They're commercial, they're just things, right?
Yeah.
And then it's painted as if it was a listing on Instagram, which means it opens sort of like that fourth wall. It basically talks to you and me as we are also seeing the social media. We are using social media to look at those things. And many, many people that look at these listings will never afford or have no intention to ever buy this thing.
Right.
But they're still fascinated by it, and they look at it like they're looking at the Kardashians, let's say, or so, you know.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and so these elements or these relationships is what interests me, and this then basically became the series. And I've been painting old Ferraris that's are 50 years old that are selling for $50 million.
Wow.
And I've been painting these bags, and it's like it's become this whole series. And this is one of this is work that I've been showing in Miami at Art Miami
Yeah.
also.
Oh, I love it. I love all of it. What was the response?
Response as well in that these paintings have been selling. That's one thing, but it's also to me. There is actually the aspect that, on site, let's say at the fair, at the booth, how people, or at an exhibition recently also here in New York, where one of the paintings was on view, how people respond to it, and engage into this. Oh, right, I thought about this and that, and this interests me, and so it's really like this door that opens and allows people to look at something that we're all aware of, right? We all use Instagram or Facebook or whatever. But when it sort of like becomes, it's pulled out of that original context by becoming an oil painting. And you're looking at this oil painting and say, like, wait a second, there's a like button that's painted, but you cannot click this because it's an oil painting. That's
Right,
why, right?
exactly.
It has a little bit of this, and people get this, and that is where my what I like the most, Brock, to see this, and it's another opportunity for a dialogue. And I paint these objects, these bags, let's say, in the same manner, in the same technique, using the same techniques. Like 400 years ago, let's say some family would have said, oh, let's hire this painter, commission this painter to paint a portrait of us. So it has this, the bag becomes a portrait, a classical portrait.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there, it's an object of desire,
Yeah,
right?
totally, totally.
So that's
I love
the.
that. That is so multi-layered. That is so ingenious. Oh my gosh, that is brilliant. That is brilliant. Well done.
Oh, Brooke, I have to tell you, I also, sometimes you have an idea and you say, like, oh, and you do one or two things with it and you see, that's really the end of it. I completely circled around this thing and that's that, and let's go and move on to something else. And sometimes, rarely, you have something where it's like, wow, this thing has legs. You can actually continue. And I've been working with this series, and it's sort of like expanding into other things, and I'm quite happy with it. Yes, and it will lead to other things, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, I mean, I just think that's amazing. I think that's, I just think that's so brilliant on so many levels. I just think
That's
it's
very kind of you. Thank you. It's also very, to me, it's very New York. It's very 21st century. It's very New York. It's very, it's sort of like a post or a new generation of pop art in that sense. And I like it. I like this idea. And Miami, of course, just like New York, has a certain vibe. And Miami is very colorful and very sunny and all of those things, and you can feel that when you're there at the fair. So it, and those paintings also, they sort of like speak to the audience or to the people that come there as well. Also, it's very Miami in a way also.
Yeah, awesome. That's amazing. Yeah, I was going to ask you about Art Miami. How was that?
There's a lot of people that come. There's a lot of, you have a VIP reception first, and people dress up, and it's very different from New York. New York City, people's favorite color is always black.
Yeah.
So if you go and look around New York, it always doesn't matter, summer, winter, doesn't
Right.
matter. You know, many people dress in black.
Yeah.
It's like we call it New York black, you know. And Miami is so different. You know, people walk around, they have Hawaiian shirts on or whatever, white jeans and, you know, beautiful cars and beautiful people and all of that good stuff, you know, sunshine. And there's a lot of this is a very extremely well frequented fair. It's the largest art fair in North and South America. And it's become very, very successful. And there's different tents, and you know, there's tents for the absolute A-lister galleries where nothing sells under $1 million or so, let's say, or whatever,
Yeah.
$500,000.
Wow.
But the energy is very good. I like it, absolutely like it. I'm not in the tent with 100 million or 10 million or $1 million dollar artists, you know, but I'm
You will be
quite.
someday.
From your lips to God's ear, right, Brooke. I think that the best art, regardless of who makes it and when it was made, whether it was made 100 years ago or whether it's made today, is art that is very much alive in the here and now, and where you can then feel that energy. You know, if I look at the best, quote unquote, best Picassos or so, or the stuff that's the most beautiful Cezannes or something, they're in my mind great because, you know, they were. There's a lot of that energy and stuff that went into the making of these paintings, and I think that still holds true today, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Oh, this has been so great. So great, Roland. Where can people get in touch with you?
Well, people get in touch with me either by visiting my website. It's rolanddefries.com. I don't know if you have an opportunity to put that somewhere.
Yeah, I'll put
You know, and it shows my recent work, and it has some other information, and I have some little quirky videos and stuff on there that are very New York, you know, slow motion videos filmed from the bus or something. I don't know, you know, Fifth Avenue. Just a little side project, but they can also see things that are finished work, but also work in progress, or sketches and drawings, by going to Facebook or Instagram, and my handle is at Roland DeVries Art. You know, and then they can follow or connect or send messages and all of that good stuff. And I'm always looking forward to engage in dialogue and hear from people, you know, of course,
Perfect.
other artists or just people that love the stuff or have a question about it.
Oh, this has been so great. This is so awesome. Thank you so much, Roland, for chatting with me. Thank you for reaching out. That's amazing.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely. I am so very grateful and so happy that you're doing this. And you're obviously also it's one of those big ideas that you've been that you decided to keep doing it for what, how many years now? No, and how many episodes?
It's been like 10 years, 10, 10
Crazy.
or
Yeah,
so.
cool.
Yeah,
Awesome.
yeah, I love
Kudos.
it. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again. We'll definitely have to be on. I'll have to have you on sooner. So, not let
Well,
4 years
likewise,
pass.
nope.
Yes, it does. It really does. So, but yes, thank you so much for reaching out to me. And I definitely want to do this again much sooner. And best of luck to everything that you're working on, because this is fantastic. And I wish you much success in it. And I know you will have it because it's fabulous. But
Well, one of the things I have on my website is also an event calendar. So I always put upcoming shows or exhibitions on there. You know, there's a list of, you know, the history basically of shows and exhibitions and participations. But there's also upcoming, you know, so things that are in the works for 2026 will show up there or are already on there partially.
perfect. Perfect. Awesome. So it'd be a good way to keep up with what you're doing. Awesome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
But also, this is so great, and we will definitely talk again. So, and you have a wonderful rest of the day.
Yes, the same to you, Brooke. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So, and I'll let you know when this posts.
Thank you.
So I'll speak
Bye.
to you.
Nice. So nice talking to you. Bye bye.
Nice talking to you too, Roland. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Roland DeFries for chatting with me. Always great to see what you're up to. And this sounds super cool. If you want to see more of Roland, go to rolanddefries.com. It'll be linked on the page. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like, share, or consider sponsoring my Patreon. As always, thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Rue Walker.